wisdom as we navigate through all of this. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Tonight I want to preach to you about a subject that I just feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for us: pillars of the church. Pillars of the church. Lord, help us. Talk to us tonight. Talk to us about our place in the kingdom. Talk to us about the place you have designed and carved out for us within your church, Lord. A place that you called us to fulfill, but Lord, we have to answer that calling. We have to be willing. We have to rise to the occasion. We have to answer your will in our lives. I pray, God, that you administer in this place as you are building your church. God, help us to be willing to answer your call in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. The church, nothing like it. There's nothing like the church of the living God. There's nothing like a place and a body of believers who have been called out of this world, who have been saved and covered by the precious blood of Jesus, filled with his Spirit, living set apart. There's nothing like the church. There's nothing like the church. And while we are thankful for this building, this wonderful facility that we have to come and worship in, we know this building is not the church. But the church is made up of people who have been called out of the world, people who are living free from sin, people who are living according to the calling of God upon their life. That is the church. If we ever doubt our potential as a Christian, all we need to do is take a good look at the life of Simon Peter. He was mightily used in the New Testament, of course, but Peter had some issues as well. And of all the Bible characters, he is perhaps one of our favorites because we can all identify with his mistakes and his stumbles. The way that he struggled at times, it helps us understand how we frequently feel about our own steps as we do our best to live victoriously for God. Peter knew what it was to have extreme experiences. Extremes. He knew about the extremes. Consider with me today, in one moment that we read of in our text, he rises to the height of spiritual insight. Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, this and that and the other." And he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered so powerfully, so elegantly. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Yet just a little further in that passage, we see how in the next breath, Jesus has to rebuke Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And on the night of the Lord's arrest, Peter declares that, "Well, though all would be offended, yet not I, even if it means the death of me." But just within a few short hours later, he denies ever even knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. Such extremes. And there are no doubt times in all of our lives where we can relate in our walk with the Lord. Just when we think we've got things figured out, a big wave comes along and just turns us over. Just when we thought we had the victory, then another battle rages. Amen. That's the reason why I think we love Peter so much, because we can see ourselves in him. Peter is both a super saint and a poor, desperate sinner. He's a spiritual giant and also a spiritual dwarf. But in the end, the life of Peter, it gives us such encouragement because he happens to be a whole lot like us. There are times that we are so proud and we are so thankful of the spiritual steps we are making for the Lord. But then there's other times that, well, we just don't even know what we were thinking and how we got ourselves into that mess. And from the look of things, we probably weren't thinking too much. But that's just life. And so we see that within Peter and we can relate to it. I've come to encourage someone here tonight that, well, Peter eventually got some things together. Peter, the Lord just kept reaching for Peter. Peter was ready to give up, but Jesus said, come on, let's try again. Let's get up, Peter. Come on, let's go a little further. Oh, inevitably, he gets in the right place. He gets in the right position, and God uses him mightily. Amen. The place that God had called him to be. Why was it that he was able to persevere and come through? Because he consistently had the right attitude. He consistently would repent. He kept aiming in the right direction. And although he keeps fumbling the ball, he just kept on picking it up. And finally, he's able to run for a touchdown. Praise the Lord. That, my friend, is the secret to becoming an overcoming Christian. It's not that we would never falter. It's not that we would never make a mistake. It's not that we'd ever do something stupid. But it's the fact that an overcoming Christian keeps on getting back up. Keeps on saying, you know what, I made a mess of things this time, but I'm not staying in that mess. I'm going to get up and try again. Hallelujah. Come on. They keep on pressing on. They don't give up. They don't get bitter. They learn from their mistakes. They let God teach them through their failure. They accept the correction of the Lord, and they keep on moving forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
It was a few years ago that Sister McCoy was struggling to be victorious in the church, right when she first was getting in the church. And she tells the story of how, I believe it was my dad that she talked to and just said, well, you know, it's just such a struggle. And he said, well, sister, let me tell you, what's the difference in a Christian that makes it and a Christian that doesn't? What's the difference? The one who makes it just keeps on getting back up. Just keeps on getting back up. Praise the Lord. Come on, if you've fallen and you find yourself under the load of guilt, of shame, of failure, of mistakes, just keep on getting back up. Just keep on pressing on further. Don't you dare stay in that place of failure, but you keep on getting right back up, and you will be an overcoming Christian. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. An overcoming Christian realizes that we need God's help to make it. And eventually they start making progress. They learn how to make a few steps forward without falling too many steps back. Thank God there's hope for every single one of us. We all need the help of the Lord, but he's ready and he's willing. Amen. And when we look at the life of Simon Peter, what an example from the Word of God. Now, Peter was not a likely success story. Just look at the skills he brought to the table, or rather the lack of skills. According to all logic, Peter should have failed as a disciple. He didn't have what it took to be a success. His communication skills were lacking. He was abrasive. He was brash. He stuck his foot in the mouth all the time. After all, he was just a fisherman. He had no formal training in,
in running a church or in preaching or in church administration. He didn't know anything about all of that. But instead of becoming a failure, Peter became a pillar. Peter became a pillar in the church. He became a tower of strength in the New Testament church. He became a foundation that Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to use you. And I'm going to use your declaration here today to build my church on that. And I don't care what the enemy tries to do. I don't care about the attack of hell against the church. The church is going to stand. Praise the Lord. I believe God is still looking around saying, is there anybody that would be willing to be a pillar in the church that he can build his church on, that he can build a people on, that we're going to last, we're going to make it through the storm, we're going to make it through the test of time, a pillar in the church. I've come to encourage us here tonight. Maybe you've never thought about being a pillar in the church, and well, that's for somebody who's older. That's someone who's much more experienced, someone that's much wiser than we are. But I tell you, God is looking for people who will become a tower of strength, a foundation upon which to build others, a dependable person, a reliable person who can help build the kingdom of God. We may think we don't fit into what God is looking for, but the exciting thing is God has a way of taking the little we have to offer. Oh, the little bit that we do have, and he works on us, and he develops us, and he allows us to learn some lessons along the way, and when we have a willing heart, he can make us into something much more than what we were. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The thing is not to look at how little we have, but to have a willing heart and say, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me, and I give myself to you. I commit myself to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pillars in the church. Let's read some scriptures in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And then notice verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Back to verse 12 again. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. For everyone here tonight who has ever doubted our potential to live for God, our potential to be something great in the kingdom, to be something powerful in the church, for everyone who has ever been plagued by doubt sent from the devil, for everyone who has ever felt trapped or burdened by their past, for anyone who has ever thought that the dreams that God has given them, well, that's too far beyond me for really seeing it come to pass. Let me tell you, here is a promise of God that we can cling to. It is a way to become a pillar in God's kingdom. The scripture starts out, it says, him that overcometh. And so I'm preaching to some overcomers tonight. Oh, maybe you're still in the process of overcoming. Maybe you look around and maybe you just made a mistake today. Maybe you're still struggling right now. Maybe you're in the middle of a trial, but you're in the process of overcoming. And as long as you don't give up, as long as you don't throw in the towel, as long as you don't stop coming to church, as long as you don't quit praying, you are going to be an overcomer. You are going to come through in victory. You are going to come through in the glory of God. You are going to come through. You're in the process of overcoming. Oh, you may have just fallen this afternoon, but you're getting back up, and you're going to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. We're not going to let the enemy defeat us, but we're going to keep pressing on, and we're going to have victory one way or the other. We're an overcomer. 1 John 5:4 tells us, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." It takes faith to be an overcomer. If we desire to become a pillar in the church, we've got to be an overcomer. And if we want to overcome, it takes faith. Jesus said to the two blind men following him, he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And they were healed. To the woman of Canaan who had the daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil, after he did his best to discourage her, but she refused to give up, he said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." What about the woman with the issue of blood as she made her way through the crowd and came through the press to touch his garment? He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." When Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the waves and they ceased, he said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" We've got to have faith to be an overcomer. Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Praise the Lord. Sometimes we need to pray, "Lord, don't let my faith fail me now. Don't let my faith fail me now. It seems like all of hell has come against me. But God, I pray that you will let faith rise up in me because I want to be an overcomer. I've got to make it through this struggle. I've got to make it through this battle. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but Lord, I pray that you would give me faith." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Acts 16:5 tells us, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." 2 Corinthians 5:7 declares, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." 1 John 5:4 again tells us, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." It takes faith to be an overcomer. Amen. It takes faith to overcome. We have to have faith. We have to believe. You see, you have to believe that you can have a new life. You have to believe that you can be born again. Not just a natural birth, but a spiritual birth. We have to believe that we can be born of God. John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Today, do we believe enough today to just simply obey the word of God? Our faith in obeying the gospel, it plants the seeds of eternal life in us. And when we are born again, we receive the spiritual DNA that is destined to help us grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. When a baby is born, there is DNA that is put into them. They don't understand it all, but they're starting to understand more and more, and it affects how that child is going to grow and how it's going to look and all of that is going to develop. And you look at the mama and you look at the dad, and there's going to be a little piece of each in that child, but they're also going to be unique. And oh, it's such a beautiful thing. And when a child of God is born again, there is a spiritual DNA that we get from Jesus. Oh, I want to tell you what. And little by little, we start to become more and more like him. Amen. It's not an instant work, but we start growing and we start becoming more like him. And people realize there's something different about you. You're walking a little different. You're talking a little different. I feel something different about you. It's the DNA that's been placed inside of us that comes from our Father above. Hallelujah. And it helps us to grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And so to become a pillar, a foundational part, a reliable element in God's plan for his church, first of all, we got to have faith. Faith. And then secondly, God promises a covenant with us. Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God. How do we get God's name written upon us? How do we get his name applied to our life through water baptism? Hallelujah. Oh, do you remember the day that you went down to the water? Do you remember the day that you were baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ? And you maybe didn't know exactly what was all going to happen, but oh, you went down below that water, and when you came back up again, maybe it was just recently or maybe it was years ago, but you still remember how good it felt to come up out of the water, and you'd had a new name. A new name had been given to you. A new name had been applied to your life. Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord for baptism in his name. It's an outward physical act. But when we obey that covenant that God wants to establish with us, it accomplishes something spiritual in us. And that's why in the Bible there's no such thing as a Christian who had not been baptized. They were all baptized. They were all baptized. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't think that was the only time that sermon was ever preached. Amen. I guarantee you they repeated that over and over and over again until children running down the streets of Jerusalem, they could declare, you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so they understood that you had to be baptized, that baptism was a part of salvation. You know, sometimes people ask, well, do I have to be baptized? Do I have to be baptized? A good answer is, well, no, but you get to be baptized. You don't have to be. You can do whatever you want to do, but, oh, if you want to have the name of God applied to your life, you got to be baptized. But we get to be baptized. Hallelujah. We get to take on the name of Jesus in baptism. We get to have all of our sins washed away. We get to have a new life. We get to enter into a covenant with our Lord. We get to. Hallelujah. Just look at some of the things that are dealt with when a person is baptized in Jesus' name. Acts 22:16 declares, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Our sins are washed away. They are remitted, accomplishing God's work of forgiveness when we're baptized. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our conscience is washed and cleansed so we can be free from our past way of thinking, so we can be free from guilt and shame, so we can be free from the thoughts of our past life. Our conscience is washed and cleansed through baptism. Colossians 2:12 says, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And so in baptism, our body is buried in a grave of water, which signifies the death of our old life. It dies away. We're not the same person we used to be. That person has died. It's not alive any longer, but now we've been given a new life. We are born again, and God has made us new. Through baptism, we take on the name of Jesus Christ, which is the only saving name. Galatians 3:27, for as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. You put on Christ. You put on the name of Jesus Christ. You put on the new man. Romans 6, verse 1 through 4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Through baptism, the burial of Jesus Christ is applied to us, so that old man passes away, and what we used to be is now dead, and we get to walk in newness of life. Do we have to be baptized? Oh, we get to be baptized. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So looking again at Revelations 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So first of all, we overcome by faith. We come to the Lord by faith. We repent by faith. And then second, we take on the name of Jesus in baptism. We take on his name. It's a covenant. And thirdly, God promises power. God promises power. Power from God so that we can be made a pillar in the temple of our God, and that we'll go out no more. Amen. We'll go out no more. God doesn't say just, well, okay, you've had faith, and okay, now you've been baptized, and so now you can just go make it on your own. Just go figure things out and, you know, struggle through it, and eventually you'll get it. You'll learn to live for me and just do it by your own strength. That's not how God works. Repentance and baptism, that's just part of the journey. That's just part of the process. But God says, I'm not finished just yet, because I want to give you power. I want to give you power. I'm going to make it happen inside of you. Amen. We can try real hard on our own, but we'll never make it. We need the power of God in our lives. Not our power, but his power. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you are living short on the power of the Holy Ghost, I tell you, you better get full of God's Spirit, because there's nothing like the power of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like the power of his Spirit. There's nothing like his anointing. There's nothing like the fire of the Holy Ghost to help you and give you strength. There's nothing like that fire to burn out what's wrong in us and to make us new. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God wants to make us a pillar. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to support others. Amen. He wants you to be a father that kids can lean on. And he wants you to be a husband that your wife can trust. And he wants you to be a wife that's powerful in prayer. A young person that knows how to pray. A friend that people can depend on. Jesus is in the business of making pillars that people can rely on because of the power that's in them. Not because they're so smart, not because they're so able to do things themselves, but because of the power that's in him.
Jesus is in the business of making pillars, just like he did in the life of Peter. And this can only be accomplished through the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it provides power to help us live for God. It brings rest. It brings peace. It brings joy. There's nothing like the power of the Spirit of God. Isaiah 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost helps us pray. Did you know that? Have you ever felt like, well, I've got to pray. I need to pray. But you don't know exactly what to pray. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. With groanings which cannot be uttered. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember one time that it was at the church that we pastored in Texas, and I believe it was before a church service, and I had come early to the church to pray, and I was in the prayer room, and there was such a burden that was upon me, and I began to pray, and I didn't know exactly what all to pray, but all of a sudden the Holy Ghost took over. And there were groanings, and there was a burden that was there, and there was a struggle that was going on in the Spirit, but the Lord just kind of stepped into that place, and his Spirit began to pray through me. And I remember there was a lady, she thought she was going to come early to pray, and she comes in, and oh, she just shut the door and just backed up, because there was some groaning going on. There was a struggle going on, but it wasn't me. It was the power of the Holy Ghost that was praying through me. And I don't know what exactly was going on in the Spirit there that day, but I didn't have all the answers, but I had something that was better than all the answers. It was the Spirit of God. And sometimes you can have a need. You can be overwhelmed. You can be facing something that's too big for you. But if you can get in the Spirit can pray through you, and he will give you power in your prayer. The Holy Ghost gives us power to witness. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Ghost gives us power over the enemy. Isaiah 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost gives us power to overcome. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power that God will give them. Come on, why wouldn't everybody want this? It's a promise from God. It's part of the salvation plan. It's power to live right. It's power to overcome. It's power to pray. It's power. Amen. We need that kind of power. And in the Bible, when they knew that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it was because they would speak with tongues. That promise is for us today. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to help us become a pillar that God is calling us to be in his church and in his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? God is calling us to live a life of victory. It's not his will that we live defeated.
It's not His will that we be bound by sin all of the time. It's not His will that we would just struggle to overcome the world. Help us against the attacks of the enemy. It's God's will that we live in victory. It's God's will that we be strong against the attack of the enemy. That we overcome. That we help others overcome. If we're always just trying to struggle to get along ourselves, then how are we going to be a pillar that can help others? It's God's will that we live in victory so that we overcome and so that we can help others. God's called us to be a witness. Amen. We need God to make us a pillar of strength, a pillar of example, a pillar of refuge for people that are overcome by the world. Pillars are strategic in architecture. If you're going to build a building, you're going to have some pillars that are going to support that building. You don't just go in and cut out a pillar and there not be some consequences. Think about Samson. He'd lost his strength. He'd been mocked and laughed at by the Philistines who once were terrified of him. But as they gathered that day to make fun of Samson, he told the servant leading him, he said, "Take me to the pillars of the building." And God granted him enough strength to pull down that building on all those Philistines that day. Pillars are strategic. Pillars are strategic. The enemy knows if he can take a pillar out, he doesn't just affect one. He doesn't just touch one family. He doesn't just take out a few, but he takes out everybody that pillar is supporting. Pillars are strategic. If we're going to be a pillar, we're going to have to be dependable. If we're going to be a pillar, we've got to be faithful. There's sometimes it's just not fun to be faithful. There's sometimes it'd be fun to go do something else. But we're a pillar. And God's counting on us. Pillars, they have to be accountable. They have to be accountable. Why is it that we teach, if you're going to miss church, text pastor, let them know. Let them know. Because pillars are accountable. We look around tonight and there's some that are missing. Some have let me know and some I have no clue where they are. They're not pillars. They're not accountable. They're not dependable. Pillars are strategic, and God wants us to be a strategic part of His kingdom, a strategic part of His church. Sometimes we probably think a lot like Peter thought. Well, how can I ever rise above my failures? How can I ever amount to anything in the kingdom of God? How can I live in victory? How can I finally get things together in order to reach beyond where I am right now? Remember, it starts by faith. We've got to come to the Lord by faith. We repent of our sins by faith. We believe that He forgives us by faith. Then we have to receive His name through baptism, letting His blood wash away all of our sin and our shame and our past. Don't stop there, but we need the power of the Holy Ghost to give us strength and make us powerful in the kingdom of God. When we think of pillars in the church, we might think of older people who, well, they've been there for many years. And while that certainly is the case a lot of the times, God can use people of all ages, of all experiences,
of all backgrounds to become a pillar in his church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's looking. He says, I'm wanting to build something, but I want to use some people to be a foundation in my kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no telling those that you will impact. There's no telling. Sometimes you don't even realize the influence you have. You don't even realize the impact you have on others. Sometimes people are watching you and you didn't even know it. Are you going to be a pillar? Are you going to be someone that God can depend on? Or is God going to have to look for someone else? Hallelujah. I believe there's some young men in the house right now. God's saying, I want you to be a pillar in my kingdom. I believe there's some young girls in this place right now that God says, I'm looking for a young lady. You might not have it all figured out, but you're going to be a pillar in my church. Hallelujah. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that you have failed God. You have made so many mistakes, you couldn't even count them all. But God says, in spite of your mistakes, in spite of your failure, I'm wanting to lift you out of that. And I'm going to make you a pillar. Oh, and I tell you, when that happens, God gets the glory. Because we could never do it on our own. We could never accomplish it on our own. But it is His Spirit. It's His strength. It's His power that lifts us up. Oh, is there anybody here? You would answer the call of God tonight and you'd say, I'm going to be a pillar in the church. I'm going to be dependable. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be reliable. I'm going to be a foundation. I'm going to help others. I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm going to do something great for the kingdom of God. By faith, I receive it tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. Would somebody answer that call right now? Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm nothing on my own. But God, if you will use me, if you will strengthen me, if you will let your power work through me, I want to be a pillar in the kingdom of God. I want to be a pillar in